That was August 1963, and of course, King was very much present that day. It was really near the beginning of the civil rights movement. It was already, what, 6-7 years after Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, and about 3 years after the lunch counter sit-ins began in, what, North Carolina and that area, and a lot of civil rights activity, and a march on Washington was planned. I think the John Kennedy was president at the time. It was a few months before he was killed. The administration really didn't encourage this large march, and nobody knew quite what was going to happen. And it was very definitely a racially mixed march. And the idea, of course, was a peaceful march, but demanding civil rights, basically, for people of color. And I got involved. Well, I was busy that summer. I was a young faculty member with 2.5 children, and I was actually doing research on Long Island that summer at a national laboratory there, and I and two of my friends decided to, at the last minute, to go down to the march, and we didn't know what kind of march it was going to be. We thought, of course, there might be some violent opposition to us. We had no idea what Washington was going to be like. We actually ran an experiment at the lab all day until about 6 p.m. and then got in the car and drove to Washington. And it wasn't really a hardship march. We got to the city, Washington, maybe 2 a.m. We had a room at the Sheraton. We got up the next morning. We took a taxi to the march. and for several hours, there were lots and lots of people there, of course, and we just milled around in the general area of the Washington Monument, and eventually we all started moving in the general direction of the Lincoln Memorial, and eventually you couldn't get any closer to the Lincoln Memorial, so we sat down on the side of the waiting pool and speeches began. And one thing that was remarkable about the day was it was very much, of course, a mixed white and black crowd, and everybody was friendly. It was really a good feeling in the air. And then when the speeches began, it was hot. People were getting hungry. We were getting hungry. And the speeches tended to be kind of repetitious. And then all of a sudden, we weren't even paying much attention. I wasn't as to exactly who was speaking when. And somebody started talking, and I realized, this guy's different, a real speaker. And of course, it was Martin Luther King. And that was a very emotional moment. It was, what, 10 minutes perhaps. And I've watched the video of that occasion several times since then, and it's still a powerful thing to see. He's quite a speaker, and I have a dream. Everybody ought to see that video now. There was really such a feeling of optimism in the air. I mean, things were happening. Kennedy was sort of resisting, but there was going to be a Voting Rights Act, although it didn't come until Johnson was president and pressured Congress into doing it. But you knew that things were moving, and it was really this wonderful feeling that after all this time, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, that the race problem was going to get settled. Well, it hasn't been settled yet, but there was a great feeling in the air. One of the memories I have of that afternoon, we had driven down in one of our own cars, but driving back on the Baltimore-Washington Expressway, looking out the back window and looking out the front window and just seeing just wall-to-wall buses, hundreds of buses, going back toward Baltimore, going back toward Philadelphia, New York City. And of course, people had come from all over the South, too, and what they were going back to was a little bit different from what we were going back to. That was quite a moment in American history. Nobody, including the Washington police, knew what might happen, but as far as I know, there was absolutely no violence that day at all. Not only were there sort of more or less equal numbers of blacks and whites, probably more blacks and whites, but there was no blacks crowding together, no whites crowding together. What's happened when we've had more black students at the college where I teach, which is typical, I think, Amherst College, that the black students tend to eat together and live together, and which is all understandable, but it's sort of too bad. And that day, there wasn't any feeling like this is a white part of the crowd and this is a black part of the crowd.